Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, this is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, and we have one of our founders here today. I have Nelson Chu. He is the founder of Cadence, an investment company. Hey, Nelson, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
All right. Whenever I see investments, I have to go to the podcast. You know, I have to go to the website, let me say this, and kind of look around and definitely have something unique there. I saw zero fees, which I liked. But what we're going to, you know, what made you want to be an entrepreneur? And then we'll segue into your company.
Yeah, absolutely. It started really early, actually, and I have to credit my parents for that. So my dad was an entrepreneur in his own right. He was actually a programmer or a computer programmer in the airline crew optimization space. So it's a very unique niche segment of the market. So effectively, they create algorithms and programs to be able to automatically schedule when pilots are going to fly, which flight attendants they're going to be flying with, things like that. And there's a whole slew of preferences they have to take into account, seniority, things like that. So there's only a couple companies out there in the world that do that, but they managed to, you know, get some good clients out there back in the day. So he's always been entrepreneurial, and he's always kind of encouraged me to do whatever I thought was interesting. So I'll be the first to say I was a terrible student. So I actually just focused on all the things that I enjoyed doing, whether that was when I was younger, movie making or tinkering with my car or anything like that. And my parents just gave me the money and the time to be able to do that, even though they were kind of disappointed in my grades at the point in time. So, you know, it's it led towards me wanting to do something on my own at some point in my life. When I graduated from college, it was 2009. So interesting time to be getting your first job. I was in finance as well. So that was a even more interesting segment to be in or sector of the market to be in. So at that point in time, I was like, let's just get something a little stable for now and just, you know, ride out this recession and see how it goes. But the first few years of finance, I just really wasn't happy at the end of the day. I just wasn't really intrigued by the work. It wasn't interesting to me. And I thought I could do better. So I stuck it out for about 2.5-3 years. And then I said, you know what, right idea, right time. It's time to go. I'm going to do it myself. And I have some money saved up. My dad was kind enough to chip in some of his money as well to try out my first startup. And then I tried to do it, and I realized I had no idea what I was doing. It came out terribly. I had originally wanted to create a crowdfunding platform for reading the news. It's a way sexier idea in 2012 than it is today. We very quickly realized that to get crowdfunding to work, you need to have a crowd. And I did not have. And so it kind of just fell flat on its face. So I had my back against the wall. And, you know, it reached a point where I was thinking, okay, like, you know, I got to make money somehow. So when you're broke, you become a consultant. It's kind of the easiest way to go.
Yeah.
And I parlayed that into building out a strategy consulting company that helped startups build from the ground up. So taking all the lessons that I had learned myself, crashing and burning my first startup, and applying and giving advice to founders. So that did pretty well, actually. We went after founders who had exited companies before, who had their next idea, who just needed a team to go. And we gave them products, managers, engineers, designers, marketers, and just gave them all the resources they need to be successful. And we had a couple good case studies come out of that. And then I got the itch again, but this time, you know, 7-8 years later, I'm a lot wiser now. I think I am, at least.
Yeah, three startups in will do that.
Yeah. So taking all the lessons I learned over those years, and ultimately, you know, Cadence was, again, the right idea at the right time, but this time with a little more know-how behind it.
Yeah, no, I was looking at the site because I'm a systematic investor, and I always look at things more on the conservative side of things, probably. And there's things on your site that obviously grab my attention. If you haven't seen it, you should go to his site at Cadence. What was it that made that idea the right idea? Because again, when you're three startups in, obviously you had a finance background, but you know, are you sitting there one day and you're going, okay, there's a real need for this? Or is it what a need that you kind of was like in your head for 5 years? I always say it typically happens overnight, or it rolls around in our head for a while and then it takes time to just put it into play.
Yeah, it's a great question. It was a confluence of things, actually, I would say. So at that point, running the consulting firm, I just got really tired of services. I mean, I think you're just, you know, my team is the one that's doing all the fun work. They're doing the creative work. They're engaging with the client. And I was just a glorified sales guy, basically. I was trying to get more clients in the door. And it was just a grind and a churn that it was not that interesting for me. It wasn't intellectually stimulating, at the very least. So at that point in time, I was thinking, you know, what else is out there? You know, I have a finance background. We've worked with a lot of fintech clients. And there was one in particular that struck me as really interesting. It was a factored receivables company for organic produce and organic granola bars and things like that. So what that means is basically Costco or Whole Foods placed an order within a granola bar company, for example, right? And it's probably the biggest order they've ever had in their entire life. And so to be able to produce that much granola bars, the company actually physically can't do it. Like, they don't have the money, they don't have the cash to be able to do that. So they go after these lenders who can provide them the capital because banks won't do it. And they essentially give up on, call it 6% of the sale in order to produce a multi-million dollar order because their margins are like 50, 60% anyway. And so it's worth the trade for them.
Yeah,
so that was the company
short,
we were working with.
Yeah, because I could see that. I mean, as a business owner, I could see absolutely, you get a contract, a government contract or something, but to implement that contract, let's just say you're going to have to buy a crane, you're going to have to buy something to make it a reality. And that's going to cost you $100,000, but it's $1 million contract.
Yeah.
You got to borrow make a million, and the person borrowing the 100, I don't care if that person wanted, just think about it, 20%.
Yeah.
It would, if it's they wanted 25, if they wanted 50%.
Yeah.
I give them 50. I walk away with not, you know, significant, you know, I always say sometimes you got to pay to get into the game. It's just funny how you do that, because I'd never really thought about it, but I'm thinking over my business career where I have offered people crazy returns.
Yeah.
Because it was necessary to even be in the game.
Yep. And we dug a little deeper, right? So we saw that company and what they were doing. And I was like, there's a real opportunity here. Because most of these opportunities are only available to hedge funds, basically, family offices, right? It's a very, very elite group that actually has access to this deal flow, because you have to put up a lot of money to be able to do it. And we realized that this entire concept of private credit, which is what this type of lending falls under, is pretty much powering the global economy behind the scenes. You don't actually realize it, but anything when it comes to small business lending, consumer loans, all these various different sectors of the market that essentially help businesses get to that next level, fulfill that purchase order, helps consumers reach their next milestone in life. All those things are things that are powered by private credit, and yet you never hear about it. And that's what caused us to say there's a real opportunity here. And it helped us evolve the business. I mean, what you see on our website is a small portion of what we actually do, because we have much bigger aspirations towards going out to the capital markets and the institutional side of the world. But what we see on the retail side on that website right now is a critical piece of that puzzle. It's designed to help us get to where we need to go. And in the meantime, we can provide investors like you and I with the opportunity to get, you know, pretty passive income, recurring cash flow, predictable cash flow, as long as the investments perform in a very, call it, you know, low barrier to entry with a $500 minimum and zero fees. And so we tried to create something more unique on that front.
Yeah, no, I saw it, and 10% seemed to be kind of like what you're shooting for your investors, and it'd be hard to pass that up. No, I mean, everything about it, look, you know, as a person, again, who invests, and I've been offered countless things over the years, it definitely, you know, it was unique. So tell me, your customer, are you going to the people like the person who needs the money to go to Costco, or are you going to the investor? Are you trying to equally service both? So who's your target? Your target
sure.
customer,
yeah,
and have more than one in this situation.
Yeah, we have like six, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which is not usually what most VCs want to hear. But basically, our target customer, our North Star, is the lender, right? So we don't ever actually go directly to the borrower, the person, the company, the granola bar company who needs to fulfill a Costco purchase order. We usually go after a lender who has a bunch of different borrowers who have, you know, to go to Costco for that purchase order. Just makes our life easier at the end of the day to be able to kind of service that many different borrowers.
So this person says to you, hey, I got the borrowers lined mm-hmm. up. We want
yep.
you all to get the money. You know,
exactly. Yep. So between using technology, between using our marketplace, every tool we have at our disposal, we try and be able to get these lenders the capital they need to grow. So these lenders go from different stages of their life as well. They're very much a startup at the end of the day. They're oftentimes VC-backed, actually. And so at the earliest stage, they're probably using their own balance sheet to finance these borrowers to kind of get the company off the ground. Super, super expensive capital. It's the most expensive capital you can because of a track record. Then you have different groups coming in. We can have companies like Cadence, right, on the retail platform, giving these lenders the capital they need. And then as they get even bigger beyond that, we start reaching the hedge funds and the credit funds and the pension funds. And we have something for every single stage of these lenders' growth. That's the vision for us. So our North Star is the lenders, but we are supporting getting investors on the door. We're supporting the borrowers kind of in a backwards way or in a back of the envelope way. And ultimately, a lot of different transaction parties were involved in these deals as well.
I mean, this is truly an unlimited market space.
It is. It's growing 20% every year, over $1 trillion in market size, $400 billion sitting in cash looking to find these deals. It's I'll go for any market that has $400 billion sitting in cash all day, every day.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty lucrative marketplace. So let me ask you this. You go back to a college function and you're sitting at the dinner table. I always say this, and one of your buddies asks you advice because they're getting ready to start a company. What's your go-to startup advice?
I think get ready, because it is definitely a marathon, not a sprint. And people say that a lot, but until you live through it, you don't really realize what's happening. And my general advice is always just to stay level. I think after going through this a couple times, 3 or 4 times now at this point, nothing's ever as bad as it seems, but nothing's also ever as good as it seems either. So those are words to live by for me, at least. When a bad day happens, the sun will come up again tomorrow. Your team is still there. They're behind you. They're ready to go to try and prove it again. If a really good thing happens, we think it's good. Very oftentimes, 2 weeks later, nothing came of it, right? So don't get too excited and don't get too down on yourself. Everything's going to be okay at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard other people say that exact, they're kind of like, this is what I've learned. When it's bad, it's never as bad as I think it is. When it's good, it's never as good as I think it is.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's so true. It's an amazing company. Again, it was an amazing idea. I mean, golly day, but it's funny though, when I see people, founders, obviously you go to college and then you were in the finance, arena. And then you come back to it. So it's very rarely do you find founders that start a business that's not in their strike zone.
When I left BlackRock in 2012, I said, this is the last I will ever be in finance ever again. And that was famous last words on my part, because I couldn't even get out of it, even with my consulting company. So yeah, and here we are, obviously building a capital markets company. So yeah, never count anything out and never burn any bridges either.
Yeah, there's some good advice here. Don't burn bridges. It's because you'd be shocked how quickly you need to network back.
And you never know. That's the biggest thing. You just never know. So might as well keep everyone, in arm's length, but in as a good relationship at the end of the day.
No, so true. I have the founder, whatchamacallit, I'm trying to go through this here. Listen, I have Nelson Chu here. I have the founder of Cadence. And obviously you need to go to the website. I'm an investor, so I'm just going to take a little bit more of a closer peek at that. But more importantly, I just love the concept of the business. And I love hearing how founders kind of get their startup and how they get it going. And you're three in. And I mean, you obviously have something that has unlimited potential here.
We hope so. Yeah. If you want to check it out, it's withcadence.io. We offer pretty diversified investment opportunities here. You do have to be accredited, and so there's a whole rule on what it means to be accredited. But feel free to check it out. I think our biggest value prop and differentiator is really the low minimums, just $500 to try it out. No fees we charge to investors. And ultimately, the ability to actually track performance. And so similar to public markets where you can see reporting around a public company, we have daily reporting around these lenders and how their borrowers are performing. It's pretty unique to us. No one else is offering that. So you can almost see how your investment is doing and check in on a day-to-day basis. Feel free to take a look.
Now, do investors, just assume I know nothing. I always say, pretend I'm a 12-year-old, because sometimes I think I am. Are these people that put their money in and they're out in 3 months, or they just keep it with you and it just keeps turning over into more and more investments? Kind of what is your typical investor?
Great question. So normally in the space that we're in, private credit, the investments are very long dated. They're 1 year, 2 years, if not more. And so we wanted to turn that on its head and change it so that investors can get inherent liquidity out of these opportunities. And we have, you know, 1 month investments, 3 month investments, 6 month investments, and they're all designed to roll over at the end. So a couple of weeks before it matures, investors have the choice. Do I want to pull it out? Do I want to pull all of it out? Some of it out? I want to add more to it. It's there. It's at their discretion. And they can have as much liquidity or as little liquidity as they want. But that turnover allows them to have that choice, which you wouldn't normally get elsewhere.
Yeah, no, that's, again, it's just an incredible business idea. I have Nelson Chu. He is the founder of Cadence. You need to look into that. Nelson, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate the startup advice that you shared with our audience.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Man, it's, again, great having a founder. All right, let me sign off here real quick. If you could stay on for just 1 second, I want to run a question by you. Again, Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, another founder today, sharing with you three startups in, you know, what it takes to start a business and giving great advice. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. We try to equip, encourage, and educate entrepreneurs. We will talk again soon.